Homily 11, Ash Wednesday and Genuine Christianity. Now is the day of salvation. This morning's readings certainly set the proper tone for Lent. Return to the Lord with your whole heart. We have sinned. Now is the day of salvation. Do not be religious hypocrites. The influential theologian H. Richard Niebuhr wrote that many Christians seek a God without wrath who brought supposedly sinless people into a kingdom without judgment through the aid of a Christ without the cross. A recent nationwide survey found that most American young people between the ages of 14 and 21, I'd say even older, hold that what has come to be called a moralistic therapeutic deism. That's a mouthful. However, it's a worldview that maintains that a God exists who created, ordered the world, watches over human life. This God wants people to be nice, to be good, and fair to each other. The central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life, except when needed, to resolve a problem. Finally, people go to heaven when they die. So, belief in God really as the divine butler. Yahweh, please a little more feeling good in my direction. This wimp spirituality is a far cry from true Christianity. I see Lent, therefore, not as a time to give up a favorite dessert, but more as a time to ask oneself in prayer and fasting, what does it really mean to be a Christian? Do you think that King Herod, the Jewish hierarchy, the Romans, sought to kill Jesus simply because he wanted everyone to be happy and nice to each other? Jesus teaches that we are to love God with our whole mind, our whole hearts, our whole strength, like Hellman's mayonnaise that uses the entire egg, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that we cannot be his disciples unless we take up our cross daily and follow him. And unless we forgive one another 77 times, which to my mind is the most difficult thing people can do, forgive. Jesus also informs us that if we cling to our life, we shall lose it. That greater love than this no one has who gives up his life for another. This is hardly the opium of the people ridiculed by Marx, or Freud's dismissal of Christianity as a projection of human wants and desires. Who desires the cross? Who desires to give up one's life for another, to forgive unceasingly? Jesus likewise exhorts us to be perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Doesn't that mean to grow up, to become a whole human being? Is it true, as one mystic wrote, that most people prefer comfort and entertainment to becoming a whole being in Christ? Is the late Cardinal Suhard correct when he writes that the greatest tragedy in life is not to have become a saint? Dying to self for the sake of others brings not happiness, but joy and peace, and not as the world gives it. The Apostle Paul, who saw the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, wished to know only Christ and him crucified. What a paradox. How many of us can endure, even in small matters, what Paul endured to be Christ's disciple? Imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death, 5 times 40 lashes less 1, 3 times beaten with rods, almost died from stoning, 3 times shipwrecked, a night and a day adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, from robbers, from his own people, false brothers, from Gentiles, danger in the city, in the wilderness, at sea, in toil, hardships, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Doesn't sound like my life here at Boston College. I am blessed with L.L. Bean and Lands End clothing and the like. This Paul insisted that God was not simply God, but the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God who raised Jesus from the dead. I like this very much. One bishop said that wherever Paul went, he suffered. He caused riots because of his preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And the bishop said that wherever he goes, there are hors d'oeuvres, alcohol, and banquet meals. The early Christians were called atheists, arrested, tortured, tossed to the lions in the arena. Why? Because their lies reflected that only Christ crucified and risen is Lord. See how they love one another. Do our Christian lives mirror that in any way? Or are we like Annie Hall, who said that if the enemy threatened to take away her credit card, she would betray even her closest friends? How seriously do we attempt to be mature Christians, say, in matters of concern for the poor, the marginal people of our society, and day-to-day humble love and service? Could we even give up our iPhone, our iPad, Facebook, video games, and so on, for even a brief time, as a small sign that Jesus is the Lord of our lives? Now is the time of salvation. In the section of St. Ignatius's Spiritual Exercises, where a person is instructed to contemplate the mystery of sin and evil in the light of the crucified Christ, one must ask, what have I done for Christ? Maybe a Lenten sacramental confession is in order. What am I doing for Christ? Giving to the poor. Perhaps I should be more like pious Muslims who secretly give away 10% of their livelihood to the charities of their choice. What will I do for Christ? Let's make that part of our Lent prayer and fasting. Now is the time of salvation.